Have you been? Tea is a little late, so we'll start. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are, Lord, in your holy presence. Coming to dwell within you, Lord. Acknowledging you as our God, most loving God. We are here, Lord, together to honor you, to praise you, to worship you, and to know you better, Lord God, through your word. Jesus, as you sprinkle your most precious blood around this place, Lord, and upon each one of us, we claim protection from every evil, from the snares of the enemy, Lord God. We command every spirit that is not of thy kingdom to be out of here, Lord God, and surround us with your guardian angels, my God. Sweet Holy Spirit, hover over this place. Take complete control of each one of us. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our voices, Lord. Help us to understand your word. Only you can open our eyes, Lord God, as you opened the eyes of the apostles going to Emmaus, Lord God. Help our hearts to burn, Lord God, as we hear your word. And Lord, help us not only to be hearers of the word, but give us the grace and strength to be doers of the word, Lord God. Then our mission is accomplished, O God. Sweet Mother Mary, be with us, guide us, bless us, and keep us under your mantle of bloom. And pray for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Jesus Christ be with you all. Nice to see you, Isha, today. Yeah, please, welcome.
Hello.
Jesus Christ. We are on the final stage of Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Hello. Come. New brother?
Everybody was waiting for you. Guess why? Guess why, brother?
We welcome our brother. Christopher. Welcome, brother. Let's give a mighty clap to him.
Third
and
is
my last day. Huh? Thief, the
brain. I thought
thank you, Helen.
No, oh. She gave red to ladies.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So we have heard enough of the woes, and today we find Jesus rather in a sentimental state, you know, as we read the last verse of 23, number 37. Number 37. Somebody read, please.
Jerusalem. You kill the prophets and stone the messengers God has sent me. How many times have I wanted to put my arms round all your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me. And so your temple will be abandoned and empty. From now on, I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thank you, sister. It's rather an anticlimax to the entire chapter, because every part in this chapter, Jesus is against the Pharisees, not because of anything else, but he's opening their eyes and with strong words like woe, woe and woe. Woe means, you know, a great, a shameful, you know, a disastrous word. And come for the preachers, for the teachers of the synagogue, it is really an insult, you know, big insult, which they should this thing.
Why do you think they are waiting for you?
Oh, they are not prepared. Special things are coming this way.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, good.
It's okay.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Now, just a minute, brother. I was wondering how do we play, how do we do this now? Because the people are going for the. Shall we take this class now and then stop 15 minutes earlier? Yeah, because then everybody will be able to participate in it. Yeah? Sure. We'll let you know later. We will not have it to tea right now in this. There is a special occasion now today, and I would like the, you know, we'll tell that later on. But you must have guessed by now. But so that everyone will get a chance to participate in it, we will this thing. So hold your nose, hold your thirst, and all, and concentrate on the word. Okay? Then we'll have this thing. Yeah. So after all the woes that Jesus has given, and now suddenly you find the tone of Jesus getting softer. He is first of all accusing and they're telling the truth that you have killed the prophets. We have heard last time, right? Right from all the prophets he has killed. But the first day they mentioned the first murderers of Abel and the last one. Who was that? Zechariah. Yeah, at the temple. He mentioned that. But and also they have killed prophets, people who have gone to preach the good words whom God has sent to them. Instead of listening to them, instead of changing their lives, instead of being different, they murdered them. They killed them and they came back empty-handed. Now Jesus is telling a very sentimental thing. You know, he says, you know, how many of you have not seen hens being protected? How many of you have not seen? Those have seen, you know how the hens, when the little chicks are around, the mother hen is always with the wings spread out, ready for action. Spread out in the sense that she is always expecting dangers or being protective. The moment she knows that there is a danger around, she makes a sound and the chicks all come and she protects the chicks with these with her wings, right? Jesus is giving the same example. Yeah. Jesus again. Now you see, you look at any, not only the hen, but you look at the animals, you know, how they are so protective. You go to a dog who has just littered, and you see if you can go close, go to a cat, and see if you cannot go there. That God has put that instinct, especially in a mother, to be so protective that, you know, they will kill themselves, but not allow anything to happen to their children. The mother sacrifices so much. And Jesus is comparing him now to this sacrifice. I mean, What a great thing to happen to do for a person who has been rejected, for a person whom people have not taken seriously in spite of all the great miracles he has done. Now today, just because the miracle is done, hail this thing. But tomorrow again they are going to back to one this thing, not accepting Jesus. Yeah, to a person who the Pharisees and the scribes know that he is somebody special, but they are always pointing to the wrong things that he is doing. In a sense, he performs a miracle on a Sabbath day, and they, instead of hailing him for the miracle that he has performed, they accuse him for healing somebody on a Sabbath day. So you see how narrow-minded, how dirty-minded these guys are. Now he's somebody special. There has never been a person as special like him in the world in the past, and there would never ever be. Rather than being one of his flock, rather than you know, saying, come on, this is somebody special, let us be like him, they are trying to be away from him. Does it ring a bell in today's day as well? Today also God sends prophets. Today also he comes and preaches and retreats and as priests, as lay brothers. Today also we listen to people, in a short term. But then after that again we go back to our long term duty, this thing. So it's a very sentimental paragraph here. But how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. And you were not willing. Today also, he speaks through this. And we are still not willing, right? How many times we say, okay, yes, we do. I mean, I am the first perfect example, first of all, you know. I try my best, but then we go back to square one, you know, and this thing. But God loves when we struggle. Like, you know, there is always a struggle. I'm talking about the modern generation now. The struggle will always be. So don't be discouraged with the struggle that you're having. That is a good sign that you want to do good, but you are falling down sometimes. You want to do good, you are falling down. God will help you when you are in that struggle. But when you are complacent, when you take for granted, like, oh, chalo yaar, you know, I'm satisfied in this life of mine. I'm satisfied being on a comfort zone, right? Then you are in the bad grounds, okay? Now in this, then he says, see, your house is left to you desolate. Now see, there is also, he's not only being compassionate, he's not only being sentimental about things, but he's also telling you, if you do not follow me, what's going to happen? You know, these words, these sentences don't seem to be so important, like we just take it for granted. But there is a lot of warning in this too. Your house will be desolate. If you don't accept Jesus, if you don't believe in him, if you don't listen to him, your house will be desolate. Even now it happens. Now he's talking about a temple later on, which come, no, a temple will be destroyed. But today also, if we do not go in the ways Jesus goes, if we do not go into the ways that of the laws of God, of Jesus himself, the love of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, what he tells us, our house is going to be desolate. It may not be your physical house. You may be having everything in the life, but in this house, mentally, in your heart of hearts, you'll have no peace. You'll have no joy. You'll just be existing. You'll not be living the love of joy, that is thing. You'll be empty. You can make out. So very often, as we said, we reflected in the past weeks that this Pharisees, we are Pharisees sometimes, and we are good people sometimes. Right? We balance. And this also happens to us. When we are Pharisees, when we do not adapt to the laws of God, we are. Don't we feel? And then we rush to confession, and then we are restored back to after all our sinfulness. Right? Is that don't we feel that? I mean, I feel a lot when I go for my confession after a bad boot with the devil, and then it's a chunk gone off from your chest, and then you feel so relaxed. Like, that's what I feel, and then I love to go back to. No, but there are these ups and downs. But we have to now like we say, you know, more of Jesus and less of me. That is the procedure. We are all sinful in nature. We tend to sin. We sin. Nobody is perfect till the death. But then what is our task? Like, you know, like we climb the ladder. Like, you know, today we are 50% sin, and suppose we are 75% sin and 25% God. Fine. Okay. Well, this is your stage at this moment. We try to be 76% and 24. You know, increase. No, sorry. The other way around. We try to be 26 of Jesus and 73 of... and that way you go down. Allow Jesus to be more in you. It's a process. Nothing happens overnight. Never, never. And don't be discouraged when you fall as well. Because Jesus is there to pick you up. Jesus says, I have conquered the world. Yeah, he's conquered and he's there with us. So we do not have to decide. But the consequences are there. Nothing can change the consequences. You throw a stone up, the stone will come down. You don't listen to Jesus, your house will be desolate. And for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. See, he has proclaimed something so strong. Okay, y'all are not listening to me, no? Y'all are not acknowledging me, no? Y'all are not doing this to me, no? Okay, fine, he says. But you will be, your house will be empty, and one day you will have to say this to me, and then you will be restored. So he's challenged them. He's challenged them. You may not listen to me, fine, no problem. You will say, but my last word is what? You will miss me, and you will have to come to me to be resurrected. Now, in this one chapter, in this one paragraph, we see a lot of things related to God. Yeah. First of all, the people have been killing the prophets, right? One prophet is sent, killed him. Second prophet is sent. Now, couldn't God, after killing the first prophet, couldn't God come and avenge problems? Why did you kill my disciple? Why did you kill Zechariah? Yeah. Here I am, you know, to give you all punishment. And couldn't he say that? But no, he didn't do that. He sent another prophet. Killed him as well. He sent another prophet. He continued to send him the prophet till he sent his own son Jesus. And then he killed. They killed him as well. So what does it show of God? What does it show? What is the attribute of God in this thing? He is a patient God, loving God. You know, he doesn't want to
save us. Yeah.
He knows that we are full of sin, but he doesn't want to punish us. No, he says, he is giving us a chance. He is a loving God. He says, okay, I forgive you. I forgive you, try again. I forgive you, try again, try again, try again. See how many umpteen chances he gives us. So like, look, couldn't he just, you know, destroy us with sin? He did, like, you know, the whole sin started with one apple. You know, one apple which he has told not to eat. He started with that. And today he's bearing so much. Shows the patience of God in this thing. You know, he sent all his thing, he sent everything. Then secondly, what does this show? It doesn't show Jesus, you know, like, you know, saying, okay, no, you have to listen to me, you have to love me, you have to be with me. No, he doesn't command. He appeals. No, he appeals. Please, he says, like a hen, I want to protect you. Try to understand. He's trying to try to understand that you are on dangerous zones without me. Try to understand that you will be that the devil will attack you, will destroy you. That's why I am with my wings open to protect you. But if the chicks say no, I don't want to come, what happens? The somebody else will come and eat a chick, and Jesus will have to just see his like, you know, you visualize him like that. The devil is the enemy surrounded. He is there waiting to say to him, but you are so adamant. I don't want. I will just say, and he is. Sometimes we say, no, where was God when this thing happened? Where was God when this thing happened? We always say, no, where was God? But then God can do nothing if we don't give ourselves. He given us a free will. Then you say, if you say no, I don't want God, he cannot force you. He never forces you. So just as Jesus says, this is my appeal to you. It's never my force. And so many things we get destroyed by our own doings, by our own wrong selections, like, or decisions we take. Now God has not kept us in the dark. It is not that suddenly it will come and, you know, oh, I didn't know anything. But says in Deuteronomy, he says, no, choose ye good and get blessing, or choose ye evil and get curses. Only two choices, bad and evil. You choose good, you get blessings. You choose evil, you get curses. And we always tend to choose evil because of a sinful nature in us. But Jesus is telling us, he's appealing to us. Yeah, our hearts have got no handle from outside. He cannot open your door and come in. Our hearts only have our handles inside, which we only can open from our inside. And then we can say, yes, my heart, Lord, I open my heart, you come in. That's the only way out of this. It's not a two-way. So he will wait, he will knock on your door till you open the door. Otherwise, he'll just go. That's what he said, I'm waiting. He said, how much I longed for you. And then nobody came, so he had to go. And he said, now I'm going back. I'm going to the cross to die for you. But then you remember. Then what in this paragraph also shows, now the four items that it shows. First of all, it shows the love of God, the patience of God. Secondly, it shows the appeal of Jesus, right? Thirdly, it shows the deliberation of sin. Sin is so strong in persons, like, you know, that we are not ready. We are so hard-hearted. We are so hard-hearted in spite of knowing that we still prefer to be hard-hearted. We are like, you know, lost crowd, many of us. So the sin is so deliberate. The sin's reactions are so deliberate. Like, you know that is the path, but you still follow this path, right? It happens, no? You know that is the path, we still follow this. We know that we don't have to get angry at somebody, we still get angry. We know that we have to forgive somebody to get your own peace, but we still do not want to forgive, right? It's happening. Why? The deliberation of sin is so strong. Sin is telling you, making you hard-hearted. Yeah, making you harder. So unless we break these barriers of sin, we break the barriers and accept Jesus truly into our hearts, things will not happen. Things will not change. It's the same thing. And finally, the fourth thing is, remember that if you don't take Jesus, you are destroyed. Consequence is finished. Yeah? 40 years later, that temple was destroyed, which Jesus was talking about. 40 years later, that temple was destroyed. So the consequence of not following Jesus is, there is no two way. It is disaster. You follow Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the light, says Jesus. He is the only way to the Father, says Jesus. So many scriptures. There is no other way. And if you follow him, you have got bliss. Yeah? Even in your problems, you are safe. Even in your problems, you have the joy. But in the joyful life of evil and sin, you have problems. In the joyful life of evil and sin, you have pains. Because that is not a true joy. That is not a true thing. It is just outward, temporary, outward, not lasting. And the consequence of that is death. So in this small chapter, or in this small verse of a few lines, you get four messages in this part.
I remember when I went to the Holy Land, this was Mount of Olives, you know, that we had to climb. So from that, you can see the temple. Yeah, and I remember the guide who told us that there was tears in the eyes of Jesus this time. Or he cried at whose death?
Lazarus.
Yes. Then he was also moved. I don't know whether he cried there when the widow's son at the
moved.
Then, but he also cried. Jesus also cried there for Lazarus' death. No, he's moved with pity like a mother. And he cried on this mountain where he told Jerusalem, you know, that was his passion. He came down to save his own, right? The Jews. No? And here they are rejecting him. Now this is what the Father's plan is. Father has predestined everything, right? Yes, like brother said, why he did not come before. But this was his timing when he had to come down. Right? So in that time, there he sheds tears and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it's you, I mean, who are deserting me. You are deserting the Father. I have to pay it by my price, you know, the price by blood. He cries, he sees everything. And as you relate there, he's talking about how the house is desolate, whether it is a fig tree or the wine that doesn't produce anything. It relates to when the anointing or the house does not have the rule of the Lord. It is desolate. Same temple. If there is no God in it, what is that temple for? No? So also our house. If we don't have the right spirit, what is it? Jerusalem. We say Beth Alem, Beth, house of bread. Like Jerusalem is house of zeal. Yeah? Your zeal is for something else. And it is also, they also told us to see the golden gate, the big golden gate wherein Jesus entered. Blessed is he who comes in the name, hail, Hosanna, and Jesus entered Jerusalem. Yes, it now remains closed. Yes, and it is said that it will open only when the Lord comes back again. Yes, where this scripture, I remember this passage very well, where the guide told us, like, you know, this is where the people are waiting again to for his second coming, where the door will be opened to him, and like, you know, it will be a new Jerusalem. That's what the Lord is telling, no? There will be a new Jerusalem, a new heaven.
So we go to 24 now, the first verse of 24.
As Jesus came,
chapter 24, no?
Come here. The destruction of the temple foretold. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs."
We take the first part of this. Now the apostles and Jesus were from the village side, no, from the coastal area. They were fisher folks. How from here when we are in Muscat, we go to the interiors, no, to look at the sceneries, What is that Wadi Bani Khalil, what is that called off the top summit?
Jabal
Akhdar and all that. So Helen is very famous. So similarly what happened to these apostles were most of the coastal side. Jesus was in that area. And so sometimes when they come to Jerusalem, to the city, you know, and so Jesus is talking about his dying and all this, and they are telling, see, look at the temple, Jesus. You know, so beautiful and so this thing. Jesus is telling them a story, but you know how naive these apostles are. Like, you know, so Jesus, see, look at that, see how beautiful temple it is. And this thing. And then I was going through what that actually temple was. So it says here that there was a temple, it is a temple area, and where the open area is where the Gentiles are permitted, right? Where you have this trading of animals and all that stuff, where traders sell. Just in front of that, outside those courts, there were long porches, yeah. But one is called a Solomon's porch, yeah. Now Solomon's porch, the details of it is what it was 1,562 feet long. Just imagine like that. 1,562 feet long. The royal portico was decorated with 160 columns. You know, the round 160 columns. And in another reflection, they say that if three people hold their hands, they cannot cover that column. Like, you know, it's so huge. And 160 columns. And then stretching along its 920 foot length. So see, you imagine what massive those things were. And it took years and years and years for them to build these porticos and this thing. The temple and all was very shining, you know, from marble was glistening and also. So wherever you go, you find that things glittering. So they're saying, so look at Jesus, they're telling Jesus, look at that portico, look at that postures, look at those temples. You know? That's the time Jesus said. And that's the time Jesus says, like, no, you're talking about this, but in very soon it's going to be destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon it. And there was this guy saying, like, they took so many years to build this thing. And what is this Jesus talking about? You know, the seriousness it was not there even that time. And Jesus still trying to tell them, but in what way? He's saying that there will be not even one stone left on that. Probably they did not even understand what happened after that. But after that, when 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was broken completely. Yeah. Done by
those
Romans.
Those walls were not like us, Chiriya Pandrache. They were not. How many have you visited your Holy Land? Yeah. You have seen the stones, no? They are this huge. One has to stand on the other. One big cyclone only should come to throw that one from the other. But he says it will be just destroyed. You know, even one stone will not remain on the other. They are this huge, the big ones, which are, if you see back at home and all, you'll see the big trucks, you know, carrying those big stones. And it has taken them years, century almost, to complete that big. That is why the whole temple, you cannot look like this. From the Mount Olives, actually you can see how vast that temple is from one to the other.
Yeah, because they say, another reflection, it says that it is one of the feet of the engineers at that time. Nobody can, it is all one structure. How they did it, nobody can fathom actually. It's such a massive, huge structure. You have seen it, it's still there, is it?
What is
that? This structure, it's not there.
This is the second.
After they rebuilt it.
That
yeah.
Is
so we'll just
time.
Say, and then King Herod, rebuilt it again. Yeah. And what it says here is, when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will this be? Now, they only want to know when this is going to be. They're not bothered about a destruction, but when will it be?
At the same time, he's on the Mount of Olives sitting and talking about Jerusalem. That is the time when he sits, might be crying, these people are coming. When this will be? Now you tell us. Now you're telling all this story. No, when you think this? They are interested about now, his reign, who will rule that way. But he's talking something else.
Yeah, they must be telling Jesus, when you become the ruler, you will sit on that place there, you will have tea on that porch there, you will have something like this. That must be their talk, you know. But Jesus, only Jesus knows, because his time is coming to an end. So he was burdened. Yeah, his heart was troubled, and he was trying to explain to them. So tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Beware that no one leads you astray." And a lot of people will tell them different things. What do you think? This temple is going to this thing. Look at the massive things. Who can touch this temple? Who can come near this temple? Yeah. So don't let anybody to lead you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Messiah," and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. But this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom...
The end of times.
This is actually a long... which I don't want to start today. That's what I'm trying to... This is a very long reflection, which is very important and very long. So I think we'll keep this for next Friday. Because we have to stop, no, for this thing. Because this is a long reflection, and we need to really reflect on this part. Okay? So anything so far? Otherwise, we can just start our... Now see, the occasion today is, it's almost been a year since this family, it's a year now, no,
yes,
sister?
Yes.
It's a year since this family came to Oman and was stranded in Oman. Now, I'm sure all of you know the story of this family, so we'll not go back to that. But the Lord has His perfect timing, and He works in ways that we cannot understand. Yeah, and these five people are a proof. Wherever they go in their life, they will be a testimony to how God has brought them from Dubai to Oman and from Oman to India in a short time. Yeah, the papers have been cleared. We got the go ahead to go, and by next week they are going out. Yeah, so let's give the Lord a mighty clap.
Brother Kirit, or this, how much did you have in your pocket when you came in this land?
Actually, we had about 500 dirhams.
Yeah, that is how much? 500
riyals.
50 riyals. Can you spend, how many days five people would spend 50 riyals?
One day.
Would you like to give a quick testimony, please?
Amazed that those who seek refuge in the Lord. Psalm 91, what does it say? Whoever, anybody, seeks refuge in the Lord can say to Him, "You are my defender, you are my protector." No matter what, amazing, amazing that a family can live in this land without anything, but the Lord takes care of everything. Can you beat it? Not one, but for five people.
Yeah, not one,
yes?
Five.
And they have their own ways, because they will justify it to the Lord. Man has so many things, because we in the beginning could not understand. We were trying to put like this, see which way is right, try to understand who is right, who is wrong.
Yes.
But we are human, right? I'm telling you, that's why God is unconditionally love. They must have done so many things, or whatever it is, or we are wrong. But when you seek refuge in the Lord and He takes hold, no. Nobody can stand against you. Nobody.
Amen.
Yeah?
Before she even starts, you know, look at the authorities at the moment. No, how many people are being caught without thing? And this family, five of them, were protected by the cloud of the Lord every time.
Oh,
nobody has ever caught them.
The story says Jesus is there. And this one time.
Now, sister, you got 5 minutes.
Okay. First of all, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I do have a lot of stage fright, so please excuse me if I go silent for a minute. Okay, we serve such an awesome God. We serve such an awesome God. He is, I don't know, I love you, Jesus. There's so much He has done for us. You know, we Christians, we take our religion for granted. We are born in the faith. And we just say we are such lukewarm Christians. But when you go through a trial like the way we have gone, the situation that we have been, has been absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. But our Lord, the way He sorted it out, you know, He paved the way with smoothness. We didn't have one hassle, not in any procedure that we went through. The Lord was so loving to us. every single person we met at the embassy, okay, we did have, because our Indian embassy does tend to give us a bit of a tough time, but the Omani authorities were absolutely wonderful. I could see Jesus in every one of them. Every one of them. Jesus was present. And one more thing I would love to share with you. Yesterday when we got our clearance, the Omani authority guy wanted to take us sightseeing. What more could you ask for? I mean, this is so amazing. Our Lord has taken care of us through everything. And these wonderful brothers and sisters, you know, wonderful. In the past, we took the open road, you know, which leads to destruction. We didn't trust in the Lord that He would get us out. We could have got it sorted out, but we did not. We took the open road. But going through this narrow road, we have faced a lot of tribulations, a lot of trials, but we have got victory in the end. And what an awesome God, what an awesome God. He is a rock star, you know. He is, I could just go on writing and the adjectives would run out. That's all that I can say. I would like to thank each one of you who have supported us, believed in us, been there with us, taking us to the embassy. Brother Cletus, Sister Maria, Lena, everyone, Brother Neville. In fact, Brother Neville was my first point of contact. And he set the wheel spinning, you know. And every one of you have been so wonderful to our family. May God bless all of you all abundantly. Please continue to pray for us. We are going back home and we have to get jobs. Our children have to be put in school. And I know it's a long road, but our Lord is with us. I have nothing to fear. You know, He will take care of everything. You know, He has come to us. This situation, that is nothing. You know, this is all our work now that we have to do. We have to work hard and set our children up and all. This is our this thing. But He has taken care of the main problem. I wish I could explain to you everything that we are going through, what we went through. You know, I have to be brief, but I just want to say that trust in the Lord, no matter what situation you are in, just believe that He is the one who's going to get you out, and never, never ever think He's going to forsake you. Never. Our Lord is a God of the impossible.
And so, Sister, confession is very important, no?
Yes.
And Jericho March, I mean,
yes.
Confession is very open,
yes,
for everybody.
Yes.
Very important.
No matter, you have to accept that you made a mistake, and you have to tell Jesus that I am ready to repent for that. And once you do that, He will forgive you. He will forgive you.
A perfect example of Jesus spreading His wings out and they entered into wings. That's why they are safe.
Yes.
Perfect example. That's now we read it. They entered into Jesus' wings when He was when He lit it up, and He did not leave them. If I could say that this is a Red Sea parting in this modern age.
Total.
It's a Red Sea parting.
Total.
I told her on the very first day.
Yes.
That God will part the seas.
And
one
is blessed.
Yes, yeah. Totally. And in fact, like I said earlier, we were just lukewarm Christians, just going for a Sunday Mass, never involved in any great thing. Okay, that's not for me. I just have to do my obligation. But I have to say thank you to Oman and these wonderful people. They have formed a new relationship for us.
Who knows, you may be back in Oman and with a job.
Yes.
For
you. Yeah,
and we'll look forward for
after
that.
After 7 years, by the way. that Omani guy told me you can come after 7 years. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
We really praise the Lord and believe in Him and trust in Him. Okay? Thank you so much.
We love Him. We'll have a small fellowship on, rejoicing on this occasion.
Yeah. Actually, I did not get enough this up, because I don't know. Myself and Alan, we were struggling and we really didn't get by. They told it another 1 hour. By that time, you all would have gone. So whatever was available, this
I don't have a knife.
I just have a knife.